If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is my favorite section of the show, which is having Gary Ginsberg tell us what's toxic and what's not. Now, Gary, there's something in Spokane that's called specially, in fact, that they're doing specially relating to bees. What is it, and why should the rest of us know about it?
Yeah, hey, Mike. We've talked on the show before about CCD, or colony collapse disorder, the thing that's worrying farmers around the globe and should be worrying all consumers, because, you know, when the honeybee population plummets the way it has over the last 10 years and science doesn't have an answer, then you're going to get towns like Spokane, Washington doing what they're doing, which is based upon some information about how these pesticides, it's a relatively new kind of pesticide that kills things that eat plants, that kills insects, the neonicotinoids, based upon the nicotine structure. And when the honeybees get it, you know, experiment after experiment shows that when these chemicals get inside of honeybees, it confuses them. They can't find their way back to the hive. They have trouble locating the nectar and bringing it back. And so you might get colony abandonment. And so Europe actually has put a 2-year moratorium on using the neonicotinoids, or the neonics as we call them. And they weren't sure that that's the problem with the bees, so they took 2 years off from the neonicotinoids and doing a lot of survey work out in the field to see if that's the answer. We'll know in about a year whether that made the big difference in Europe. And Spokane, Washington, Eugene, Oregon, those are the first two cities in the United States that have said no to neonicotinoids, hoping that that is an answer for the local growers and getting the bee populations back up. So it's kind of a precedent, and I just wanted to get that out there, that people are trying to figure
this out. Now, Gary, how many cities have this problem? Isn't this a countrywide ban and will countrywide problem? And will like two cities doing something about it help colony collapse disorder? Or are those cities to the headquarters of beekeepers?
Yeah, well, you know, the bee populations are always regenerating, and beekeepers keep trying at it. So if the local beekeepers in Spokane get a break from the neonicotinoids, the hope is that the local farmers will be doing better and maybe even get a competitive advantage over farmers elsewhere. So it is, this is one of those local is global kind of issues, and if you start small, it could set up a ripple effect if farmers see a benefit. So it's being tried there. You know, there's a lot of big, you know, company pesticide pressure, and some of the growers like the neonicotinoids. So, you know, it's not a simple matter of just let's save the bees. It's a matter of let's be sure we know what we're doing before we do this national.
But bees, like 50% or 60% of the bees, the colonies have collapsed, and they're essential for almonds and walnuts and a whole bunch of other fruit and vegetables, right?
Absolutely. Blueberries, all sorts of vegetables that we get on our table. A lot of California depends upon it. It's being taken very seriously on the West Coast. And it's so interesting to see two West Coast cities ban the neonicotinoids. I think neonicotinoids are huge in California, and it may be hard for them to, you know, just ban it until... I think there's a wait-and-see attitude in some places to see if banning them will make a big difference with the bee populations. One theory is that the neonicotinoids make them more susceptible to viruses and parasites that are known to also knock down bee populations. So it might be part of the problem, but not the whole problem. But anyway, we're all, you know, really hoping that the bees come back, because this affects our marketplace. And of course, we, you know, honeybees are kind of cool little creatures that are doing their thing for us.
Next, let's talk about the new bill that would allow hunters to use more lead, which gets us more lead in our food?
No, not in our food so much. This is a huge ecological issue, and more lead in the food of hunters, actually. So, there are folks that would like to get government out of all sorts of things, including hunting, but this is one of these places where government intervention has made a big difference to the environment. Getting rid of lead shot out of bullets that are used by hunters going after fowl, ducks and geese, hunting those with lead shot was a nightmare for the birds that weren't getting shot by the bullets, because all the missed shots, and 5 out of 6 are misses, they land in waterways, and all the birds take up the lead shot that are in the waterways. They put it in their gizzards, they masticate on it to grind up their food, to grind up their diet. They normally pick up pebbles, but they also pick up bullets. If that is a lead bullet, that's going to poison them, poison the population. We recognized that in 1990. EPA passed regulations banning lead shot from aquatic hunting environments. And yet now there's the sportsman's bill that's in the Senate that would allow lead shot back into those kinds of environments. And, you know, there's a movement in the opposite direction to get rid of lead shot altogether. You can have steel bullets, copper bullets that'll be much more environmentally benign. So this is sort of a pushback against that movement. You know, they're a little bit more expensive to shoot non-lead bullets. Hunters are used to lead bullets and what they do. So it's a relearning thing. But the environmental consequences of lead are huge, because if you kill a deer with a lead bullet and you leave half the carcass behind, the entrails are normally left in the woods, and you just see on top of the car, you know, the rest of the deer. But a lot is left behind in the woods. It's contaminated with lead. You got raptors eating that, and lead poisoning in wildlife from hunters. You know, the peripheral damage is the non-target gain. There's a lot of environmental damage there from lead bullets, not just in waterfowl, but also in all sorts of wildlife. So getting lead out of bullets would be much better than this bill in the Senate, which would allow more lead.
California has a rat poison problem. A big, famous Hollywood mountain lion was killed by it. What do we do about normal cats and doggies?
Yes, this is the famous, on the cover of National Geo recently, the Hollywood sign had a mountain lion standing next to it, quite candidly, was captured, it became a national iconic picture, and yet that mountain lion, that very mountain lion, is sickened from rat poison. And why is there so much rat poison in California, in the park where this mountain lion lives? And that's because of a couple of factors. But the Park Service out there tries to control or suppress the ground squirrel population because of all the damage that ground squirrels can do to agriculture and do to various pipelines and electrical equipment. So the ground squirrel population has been controlled by rat poison, including the newer, higher potency, second tier rat poisons that are out there now. And when the wildlife, like the mountain lions, eat poisoned squirrels, it goes right up the food chain, they get poisoned. So that's what we think is going on with PS22, which is the name they gave, the tagged name they gave to that mountain lion. It's not dead, Mike. It has been given doses of vitamin K to build up its clotting factors again, so it's not hemorrhaging all the time. But, you know, there are some sickened wildlife. This is the poster child. It's just the tip of the iceberg for what happens when you have wildlife and suburbs and farming near each other. Some of the pesticides we use get into some of the critters we like to think are still out there and still in the wild. So less of these really toxic pesticides to control the squirrel population is what California's thinking about.
And next week when we come back, we're going to do Down on the Farm, what's happening to a pig virus that's driving up pork prices as well as creating environmental concerns. But that's not this week, that's next week. If you want to learn more about Gary Ginsberg, go to his website, whatstoxic.com. Gary Ginsberg, thank you very much. Great segment again, one I learned tremendous amount with. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. You can ask us questions, ask us about things you want to learn about, or call 877-711-5211.